We'll turn to Psalms tonight. Psalms chapter 100. I'll give you a little bit of a break from John. Still going to mention a little bit here tonight, but Psalms chapter 100. About to read about making joyful noise and being happy. I look like we're about to die from misery in here right now, except for Ethan. He's laughing about something. Sorry to be happy tonight. It's okay.
Amen.
Everybody all right?
Amen.
Everybody going to heaven when you die?
Amen.
I'm thankful for them. Sorry to be happy. Psalm chapter 100, verse number 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know you that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. You can be seated. We think of His day, thank goodness for the Scripture. I pray you help me as I preach tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. This is not going to be a very deep or very long message tonight. I'm just going to walk through the psalm here. The Lord put this on my mind yesterday, last night, and I heard it, and I couldn't get away from it, and I try to get away from it because I don't like talking about being happy because I haven't been happy. Try to get away from it. The Lord wouldn't let me. I do like to be happy, just haven't. Anyway, I couldn't get away from it. The Lord's been dealing with me about it, and the Lord's been preaching it to me, and I know that's what He has for us here tonight. The main point I draw from it, and the one that's really stuck out to me, is that verse number 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Serving God with gladness. I have to be honest, I don't feel qualified to preach on this. I don't. I'm being really honest with you. Probably shouldn't do that, but I am. I've struggled with this, even here lately. I just have. And I'll be honest, at times it's hard to be truly have gladness about you. While you're fighting things on every side, it can be hard. Today I've noticed something in this passage here. It's not very long. Let's just read it again. Psalms 100. Y'all pay attention. There's something missing here. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. This entire chapter here, it's all commands. There is no question mark in this chapter. These are commands. I don't see a question mark anywhere in here. Do you? Verse number 1, make a joyful noise. Verse number 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Verse number 3, know you that the Lord, He is God. Verse number 4, enter into His gates. All these are commands that we are to follow. There is no clause that says, well, if this is going on, you can disregard this chapter. It doesn't say that. Chapter 101 doesn't start out with, well, I don't know, Lord, that's a hard command. No, it starts with obedience. I will sing of mercy and judgment to Thee, O Lord, will I sing. David immediately falls in with obedience. That tells me it doesn't matter what I feel like. It doesn't matter what my personal emotions are. It doesn't matter what trouble or trial I may have faced, whether from the world or from the church itself. I am to make and serve and know and enter with the right attitude. And that attitude is to serve the Lord with gladness. Whether I feel like it or not, whether my spirit feels like it, whether my flesh feels like it or not, serve the Lord with gladness. It's not a question. That was a command. Now somebody said, that's not possible. That's not realistic. That's not what our flesh would like to do. That's what our flesh would like to say. It's not realistic, preacher. Well, let me share a few more passages with you. Psalms 30-11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Psalms 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What about this one? You say that's Old Testament. What about New Testament? Philippians 4, verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. This is in Philippians. Philippians written while Paul was in prison. Paul from the prison cell said, rejoice, Lord, always, and again I say rejoice. While he's in prison, he's put in prison for preaching the gospel. Put in jail, he says, rejoice, and don't stop rejoicing. Rejoice, Lord, always. If Paul can say that from a jail cell, what is our excuse for walking in the house of God with a bad attitude and a chip on our shoulder because we don't want to be here? We don't have one. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. A little bit more about Paul. A little bit about what Paul went through. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 4. It says, Paul, again, a little bit of his testimony here. It says, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience and afflictions and necessities and distresses and stripes and imprisonments and tumults and labors and watchings and fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. He says in verse 10, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Paul says, all these things we have gone through, we are sorrowful yet always rejoicing. How can we be sorrowful yet always rejoicing? How does that even work? I believe the answer to that is in Psalms 100 that I read here just a few minutes ago. Back to Psalms 100. I'm not saying we're supposed to be naive people and that we never have any trouble and we're just happy-go-lucky all the time because never trouble never comes our way. That is not the case. And that is not definitely not the case in Paul's life. I'm not saying we are that way or should be that way. That's not what the song is about. That's not realistic. We do have trouble. We do have problems that come. We do have trials that come in our life. It's going to happen. The secret is not how to not have trouble in your life. We're going to have trouble. The secret is how to rejoice and be glad in the spite of the suffering. How to be in the middle of suffering and rejoicing always in spite of the sorrow. The Lord's going to try to preach a few minutes tonight on this thought, serving God and happy about it. I believe we can very easily break this chapter into three different sections. I'm going to do that here. Gives us a natural outline in the chapter. So I'm going to break up three sections and preach through it, and then we'll be done. This isn't going to take very long. Number one, we see the command. Verse number one. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Command is simple. First two verses, that's it. Just a command. That joyful noise there means to split the ears with sound. It means to shout extremely loud. Rejoicing. Every time that Hebrew word is used, other than in the Psalms, is usually translated as shout or alarm. Like the Old Testament. If that Hebrew word is used, it translated as shout or alarm. They might end war and different things. In the Psalms, many times translated as a joyful noise. It means to be rejoicing and shouting for the Lord, rejoicing. We always use this verse as referring to singing. They sing with a joyful noise. Joyful noise doesn't have to be a joy. It can split your ears open. It's what this verse says. This means to literally shout for joy unto the Lord as loud as you can. It means to loudly praise the Lord all ye lands. It means to speak up and say amen or hallelujah once in a while. Have some joy about you in the house of God. Come praising and making a joyful noise unto the Lord. And in fact, look at Psalms 98, verse number 4. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. It talks about singing and shouting. Joyful noise talks about shouting and then talks about singing as well. It's two different things. That joyful noise, and the same Hebrew word in Psalms 100, is to make a joyful noise, make a loud noise, and rejoice, and sing praise. It's okay to shout for. It's okay to have some joy about you in the house of God. It's okay to make some noise. I'm not saying to be disrespectful or out of order, but it's okay to shout. It's okay to say amen. It's okay to be happy about being in the house of God. It's okay to make praise to the Lord. So make a joyful noise and sing praise, it says. Joyful noise you're for is shouting to the Lord, joyfully, loudly praising God. He said, I don't like that. It's a command. It wasn't a question. Well, it's not dignified. No, it's not. That's okay. It's still a command. So verse 1, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Shout with a joyful Lord about the Lord praising. Verse number 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Here's the hard part of the entire chapter for me anyway, and the entire point of the message here tonight. Serving God and being happy about it. That gladness means just that. It means gladness. It means blithesomeness or glee, which means gladness. True, heartfelt gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serving God doesn't have to be a drudgery. Serving God doesn't have to be so hard emotionally. It's still going to have some joy about you and serve God. Our nation today is full of dried up, dead, lifeless churches. And I believe that's a lot of the reason we're in the condition we're in today. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be any part of a dried up, dead church. The church I was attending was so dead and so lifeless and so far from God that made me feel that way. I'd rather sit at home. Be honest with you, I'd rather sit at home and do nothing as opposed to wasting my time at a dead, lifeless church. And be honest with you, I don't want to do that. People just come in with everything else on their mind, waiting for it to be over so they can move on to something more exciting. I don't want to be any part of a church like that. It's a waste of my time. A waste of your time. Only part of a church that's alive and God is working, God is moving, and you can feel the Holy Ghost conviction in the services. And the preacher, whether it's me or not, actually has some kind of burden about what he's preaching. Where the people are in the church are excited to be part of the church. You say, well, that's the preacher's job. He's supposed to excite us. I'm called to preach the word of God. I'm not called to entertain you. I'm not very good at it. I'm not very good at entertaining. I'm sorry, but I'm not. That's not what I'm here to do. The psalmist says, serve the Lord with gladness. How's your spirit? How's your attitude about the house of God? Do you have any desire to be in the house of God? Do you have any burden about what God is doing here in the house of God? If not, where'd the burden go? You had a burden at one point because you joined. Where'd it go? Either you're backslidden or you're out of God's will or you're lost. If you don't want to be part of the house of God, you need to spend some time in prayer and figure out which one of those it is. Serve the Lord with gladness. Not a question, not a suggestion. It's a command. Be happy about serving God. I'm not going to dare say I've always gotten this one right, because I have not. I promise you. The Lord has been preaching this to me for 2 days now. He continues on. He says, I'm going to bring it to you. If you can preach to me, I'm going to preach it to you. Come before His presence with singing, He says in the psalm. More praise. That just means what it says. Joyful voice, joyful singing. Come to the presence of God. Happy about being in the presence of God. Serve the Lord gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Be happy about it. This means what it says. Come to the house of God happy about being in the house of God. This is God's house. This is where He desires to meet with His bride. The least we can do is try to at least have a little joy about it when we come in. You say, okay, preacher, I get it. Those are the commands. But how in the world are we supposed to do that? Okay, I know we're supposed to be happy. How am I supposed to be happy with everything going on right now? Look around. There's a lot going on. A lot of hard things are going on in our nation, in our homes, in our church. How do we have joy? How do we serve God and be happy about it? He gives us the instructions right here. Verse number 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. First off, it starts in verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. That's simple, but how often do we miss that? That capital L-O-R-D in the scripture, that this Lord is the I am that I am that He spoke to Moses in the burning bush. It's the same name there, Jehovah God. This is the word that we talked about on Sunday morning, the word in John 1. The word was with God and the word was God. It's the same person, the same Jesus Christ, same Jehovah. It's self-existent, eternal. Jehovah is what that word means. It's the one we're worshiping, and He is God. He is the great creator of the universe, the author of life, the life everlasting. He is God. He is in control. The Lord, He is. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. He is God. He is the creator. He is in control. The one you're worshiping is the creator of the universe. He is in control. He said, I just don't have anything to be glad about. Oh, really? The fact that you are a child of and you are worshiping and serving the Lord, Jehovah, God Almighty, isn't that enough to have a little bit of joy about us? We have the truth. We are worshiping the true living way, the only way to heaven. We are worshiping Him. That ought to give us a little bit of joy in the house of God. The fact that He saved your soul from eternal hell, is that not enough for you? The psalmist says, it is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. He's the creator of the universe. John 1:3, talked about it on Sunday. All things were made by Him. Without Him, not anything made that was made. He made us. He allowed us to be born into the families we were born into. He allowed us to be here. He created man. He created the woman in the garden. He created that. He put us here on earth. Not only that, He continues on. The psalmist does. He says, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Not only would He create us and allow us to be born once, but because of what He says Sunday, again, we are allowed to be born into the family, adopted as sons into the family of God. We're allowed to do that. Now we know the psalmist here, the psalms are written about the Jews. It's written by a Jew about the Jews. Psalms, songs for the Jews to sing. Jews are God's chosen people. They are His sheep. Something happened over there in the New Testament. We've already studied this. I'll read it to you anyway. John 10:14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and I am known of mine. Talking about the Jews. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Let me ask you something. Who did Jesus die for? Was it just the Jews? No. John 3:16, we think I quote that every service. Verse 16 of John 10, another sheep I have, He says. Who is it? That's those who have trusted Christ, their personal Savior, those lowly Gentiles, us, that are allowed to join into the family, allowed to join into the sheep, allowed to join into the pasture because of His grace. Those are outside of the Jews, that's outside of Gentiles who heard the gospel, believed, and received. He says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must bring. Bring with Him to heaven. You know what that means? That means that saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross, now I, not a Jew, but I get to be part of the sheep of His pasture, mentioned about the Jews there in Psalms chapter 100, verse number 3. And the sheep of His pasture. It's talking about me too. It's talking about you too if you're saved tonight. The Lord, He is God, He's greater of all. He allowed us to be part of that. He allows us to be part of the family. The Lord God, creator of all, made us. He created us, created everything else. And even though we rejected him and we rebelled, he died for us while we were yet sinners. And by his saving blood, by grace through faith, and can trust him for salvation and be brought into the pasture of sheep. We're allowed to be born again into the family. If that's not enough reason to serve God and be happy about it, I don't know what is. It continues on in verse number 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. How are we supposed to have gladness? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Just come before him and come in his presence and come into the house of God just thankful for who he is and what he's done. He did what he said in verse number 3. Be thankful for what he's done. And just come before him with the attitude of thanksgiving. Chuck your pride. You're not as good as you think you are. I'm not as good as I think I am. You're not as right as you think you are. Pride goes before destruction and the Holy Spirit before a fall. Get rid of your pride and just come into it with a spirit of thanksgiving. Come to the house of God thankful for who he is and what he's done. Come to his courts with praise. Just come in praising God. You say, well, how do I do that? It's going to take some personal devotion. It's going to take some personal separation, time with God. If you expect to ignore God all week long, I'm not saying you do, people here, but if you think you can ignore God all week long and come here three times a week and expect to have the right attitude, the right spirit, expect to get a blessing from God, it's not going to happen. You hear preaching from this pulpit at the most, maybe an hour and a half a week, maybe, somewhere around there. That leaves about 166.5 hours outside of this pulpit. If you expect to get spiritual while you're at church, it's not going to happen. You're going to come in with the spirit of thanksgiving, the spirit of praise. It's going to take some personal devotion to the Lord. Okay, some personal time with God. Some personal prayer and personal Bible reading. You're going to have to feed yourself from the Word of God as well if that's going to happen. If you don't, then we'll just be one of those dead, dried up, drier than cracker juice, heard somebody say, churches. He says, be thankful unto him and bless his name. Basically the same thing he said in the first part of the verse. He just repeated it. Be thankful and bless his name. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. How can I serve God and be happy about it, even in a time like this? Remember who God is, verse number 3. Remember what God has done for you, and then be thankful about it and praise him for it. And gladness will come. The secret to gladness is serving God, is learn to focus on God. Not on your fellow brethren, not on the pastor, not on whether you like him or hate him, whether it's me or not, whoever it is, focus on God. Focus on him. You say, well, I'm just miserable. Probably because you're focusing on the wrong thing. I don't like coming to the house of God. Probably because you're focusing on the wrong thing. Quit nitpicking all the things you don't like or just focus on God. Listen to what God has for you and let him speak to you. Focus on the Lord. Focus on God. You see, instructions. It's really a lot more simple than we make it out to be. Focus on him. Know the Lord, he is God. Realize who he is. Realize what he's done for you. And be thankful about it and praise him for it. Let me see the reason for it. More reasons again. Verse number 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Truth endureth through all generations. If you need another reason about what we already talked about, here it is. For the Lord is good. He's just good. If you need one word to describe him, there it is. He is good. He's a good God. Well, life is hard. Maybe so. The Lord is good. Well, life is unfair. Maybe so. But the Lord is good. Well, I don't like what he said. Well, maybe so. But the Lord is good. He's in control. His mercy is everlasting. Aren't you thankful for that? Because I mess up every day, and I'm glad he's patient and long-suffering. His mercy is everlasting. And truth endureth to all generations. That means the same God that was there with Moses in the burning bush, the same Jehovah, the same capital L-O-R-D, was the same God that was there with Mary in the manger, the same God that was there on the cross, the same one that died for me, the same one that intercedes for me today. His truth endureth to all generations. That's the thing about truth. If it really is truth, it doesn't change. And his truth endureth to all generations. There's no my truth and your truth. There's truth and there's a lie. There's no difference. He's full of grace and truth, it says in John. He's not going to change. To all generations, he's the same God. The same he always has been. The same he always will be. If that's not a reason enough to be happy about serving him, I don't know what we're missing tonight. That's it, church. Serve God and be happy about it. It's easy to preach. It's hard to live. But it's the truth. I don't know what all this year holds for us or for me or for my family or for the church or for the nation. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in our nation. I don't. It's not in a good place right now. I don't know what's going to take place. But I do know this. God is not going to change. He's the same God he always has been. The same God he always will be. We may not know his entire plan, but you can rest assured that he does. We may not know what the next step is, but you can rest assured that he does. And he hasn't changed. He's not going to change. We really can serve God and be happy about it. As Paul says, it's sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. The world around you can be falling to pieces. You still have joy about God and about serving God. How? Because He's in control. He's always going to be in control. He's still God. He has not changed. He will not change. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Serve God and be happy about it. If you're putting your faith in politics tonight, today has been a really hard day. I read that earlier. If you're putting your faith in God tonight, today's just another day. He's still in control. Yes, things are happening. Yes, the world's happening. The Bible told us it was going to happen. It's going to come. Where's your faith tonight? We can serve God and be happy about it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, I pray you help us. Help these stumbling words, Lord, I pray you help our church tonight. Lord, I pray you use us here.